in life for free. But you can give them to the birds and bees.
Well, what's my sexy next? I'm coming out. She's AV, Angelica Lysenko, on the board. The new, very conservative Angelina Lysenko.
Don't say conservative. Why?
Very conservative. She's becoming.
Only in these circumstances, this sounds like conservative.
I think you are now. You're now righter than Lou.
Maybe.
Yes,
it's not my fault.
No, you've been driven there. Somebody kicked you to the right.
I'm a victim of circumstances.
Somebody kicked you to the right. Just like that.
Well, what's the reason for the moving to the right?
She's a Law and Order girl.
Ah, okay.
Well, I haven't decided that.
She's a Law and Order girl. S&P futures up 20, NASDAQ futures up 55, Dow futures up 256 as Russia has claimed a vaccine. I got a bridge for you, Brendan. Let me get this straight. Do you know anybody in this country that's going to all of a sudden drop their pants for a shot of a Russian vaccine?
Not a person, not one.
Not one.
I think it would be very difficult to find somebody who'd be rushing to... Sorry, I didn't mean that. Yeah. It was a pun. But who would be rushing in even for an American vaccine at this point because of how quickly it has been developed. I think that there are some very serious shortcuts that would be taken for any vaccine at this point.
That's true, except one of the issues, in my opinion, and you can critique me as my attorney, I think one of the issues with people's concern about the vaccine is that it's not a vaccine. They've been told it's a vaccine, and vaccines can be inherently very dangerous. But this isn't. This is an antibody, essentially precursor, for lack of a better term. It's a flu shot,
mm-hmm.
which is a lot different, and I think in a lot of ways a lot safer. I mean, which isn't to say I'm not the first one.
We still don't know. I mean, we don't know, and I can't tell for sure, but I haven't seen a lot of the reporting lately. I just saw the headlines and a little bit of the story about the Russian announcement that they've developed the vaccine. But, you know, moving this quickly, it just doesn't seem feasible to me. And I think this also goes along again with the propagandizing of the crisis on both sides of whether how bad it is or how good it is. We don't know because nobody's really being honest or nobody's even giving credit to the other side. And I think that does make this much more susceptible to be true.
Well, you're never going to hear anybody. And this is, you know, the unfortunate, without going into the right or the left or whoever. Actually, I read a quote yesterday from some older statesman sort of guy, and of course I forget names, Brennan, which I shouldn't when I'm going to say something about it. It said that the downfall of this country has been all day allegedly cable news. Because it's not news. It's entertainment and it's people pushing an agenda. It has nothing to do with news most of the time. But yet it's masquerading as news, or people are foolish enough to think it's news.
Oh, I agree. I on both sides. I mean, I think if you look on the right with Fox, and you look on the left with MSNBC, I've done a study over the last couple of months where I will watch some of the Fox News and I'll watch some of the MSNBC news, but there are stories that appear on each of those that are not on the other one. And I'm not talking about the kid playing the violin and in the park or something like that. I think they're feel-good stories. But I'm talking about the stories that they highlight and the guests that they bring on to talk about that. They are completely at cross purposes with each other. And I think most people don't look at the news from the other side to see what is being raised as issues and news stories from either or both sides. And it's horrendous.
Well, and the flip side of it is, they have been, because of cable, now again, there's a huge difference. I'm not sure. Where's Dr. J when you need him? I'm not sure how the MSNBC and the Fox shape up on cable, Brennan. I know CNBC, at least I think I know. If you go, just a lot of people don't have cable anymore. But if you decide you want cable, you know, correct me if I'm wrong here. You the first batch is like, you know, you get next to nothing, right? I think the first hump, on your, for lack of a better term, in your cable includes CNBC. Right, and then your next expansion, I think, includes Fox News. Maybe Fox News is the first one, but Fox Business isn't normally in the first chunk. And Bloomberg, I don't think I have Bloomberg at home, and I got at least two or three levels of cable coming my way. But yeah. I don't think I have Bloomberg. So where you are, like CNBC, and with all respect to Kenny and Dr. J and everybody, wouldn't be on the air if it wasn't for the cable. Because unbeknownst to you, or me, or AV, or anybody, you're probably paying 25 cents a month, or 20 cents, or 30 cents, or whatever the hell number is, to CNBC. They would never, I mean, if you look at the, if it wasn't for Joe Namath on there, they would have gone under when the Viagra stopped advertising, right? Because you look at their commercials, they don't have anybody. They don't have anybody. They're not that strong, and if they lost a couple, they'd have nobody left. But they don't need it. Now, Bloomberg, on the other hand, I don't think gets it. I think Fox actually has to pay, or they have to take, at one point, John told me they had to take less money for the news station just to get the people to put the business station on or something. And so it depends on where you are in this little cable mess as to whether you get on TV or not. It's not like, it's nice if you have advertisers on top of that, but CNBC, all these people are getting paid on is 25 cents a month from 200 million people.
Mm-hmm.
I mean that's where everybody's salary's coming from. It's not from Joe Namath's commercial, or they wouldn't be paid that much. I mean, because there's not enough of them around. You look at their show all day long, and you'll see four or five advertisers that are 90% of their stuff, maybe 80.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And yeah. But the news is such that, I mean, we've jumped onto this word vaccine, and yet there are people that are looking for a quote vaccine. All right, they're not even close, Brian. They're not even. When I say vaccine, I'm talking about how many vaccines are there really in the world? 10?
Maybe. I mean, you've got things like measles and polio, and yeah. I can't think of very many others.
Well, you got mumps. You got.
Of the mumps together with the measles because of the MMR shot.
Well, it's in the same shot, but it is a separate vaccine. You've got a hepatitis vaccine. You've got, I'm not a doctor, but you got whooping cough. You got that kind of stuff. Probably tetanus, I would guess.
Mm-hmm.
But those things, they operate in a way where I'm not a doctor, but they essentially do something either to your cells where you won't let it in. Or they do something to really go after that particular RNA. Matter of fact, I got something where a guy was explaining how a vaccine, you look at this entire RNA thing, which is the COVID, and you try and find a sequence of proteins that the vaccine will knock out. Well, the problem is you got to make absolutely sure that none of those sequence of proteins are in the human DNA, or you knock out the person too, right? which is not exactly your goal, right? But now, when you talk about a flu vaccine, that's different. What they do is they take a little piece of the flu, and again, this is a layman talking. They take a little piece of whatever flu, and there's probably, how many flus do you think there are in circulation we know about? They all have names. They just all keep coming and going. And I've learned more about this since this thing started than I ever wanted to. But if a certain flu comes next year, it's already got a name. And these guys will tell you, oh yeah, that flu was here in 2008, right? They're all A something something. They all have names. They all have letters on them. I don't know the names, but and what they'll do is they'll take something that's not live, I don't believe, Brennan, but they take what pieces of the dead virus or something, and they essentially inject you with it. So it can't get you the flu. What it does is your body picks up on even bits and pieces of that particular flu, and you start to create antibodies as if you already had it. So when you do get it, when it lands on you. It goes up your nose, wherever it does, your body's already ready. So either you don't get it at all, symptoms. Actually, you do get it, but the symptoms, you either get none or less. That's the theory of it, correct? And that's why every year or that's why every year or two, you need to get one of those boosters for whatever's coming down the pike. Because 12 years from now, when this particular one from last year comes around again, the shot you got this year is probably no good. Am I right? And so
you're right on that.
So what we're trying to find here, I'm going to say 80% of what's going on is trying to find a way to get your antibodies, essentially goose your antibodies before the thing lands on you. So you either don't get much of a COVID, or you don't want to get enough, you certainly don't want enough. The goal is for you not to get sick, and by the way, for you to develop antibodies quick enough where you don't pass it to the next person. Where the original polio vaccine, it stopped the polio in you, but didn't stop you from passing it on, right?
I don't know that much about the polio vaccine.
I think that's why they had to go get the, that's why people took both the cube and the shot. It was one of the two, I don't know which one, stopped you from having polio, but it didn't stop you from passing it on. So you still could actually give it to the next person, even though you didn't know you had it. It was weird. So I mean, these things are very, very tricky. I mean, so the idea here is to, especially with the older people, is to get them the antibodies before it makes it to the nursing home or the house.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So that, and that's what we're hoping to have happen. Am I right? That's where we're at.
Yeah, we want to stop it from being able to be spread communicatively to other folks in the community.
Right. Well, and we want people to not be sick.
And not be sick, yes.
So, I mean, that's, you know, and I think, I have a feeling we're going to get there. I think right now, we probably, you know, why are we unable to, well, again, I was talking about how the truth, last night I was driving home, and all I hear was these people wailing and gnashing of teeth that they think there's been 5 million cases here in the U.S., Brendan, the number's 50.
I think it's been way more than that.
Yeah, the number's 50. So why are we spending hours at the radio talking about 5? Why not embrace the fact that we have 50 that have survived?
Oh, I've said that. I've had that same argument. That if I was this administration, I would want as many tests as possible to show a very low death rate and hospitalization rate. You know, even at the beginning, if you have 10 people in the hospital and 5 people dying, that's a big difference if you have 50 people tested or if you have 500,000 people tested. The ratio it changes tremendously. I would want more testing everywhere to show how minimal the disease is compared to where we think it is now.
Well, I think if you get rid of the first shot, and I've read this a few places, if you get rid of the first shot, they got into the nursing homes that people like the guy in New York pretty much caused. Well, you know, lob that one out there, or foolishly caused. And if you get rid of that first batch from the nursing homes, I think the death rate is like something like 0.2%, 0.3, which is about twice as bad as a bad flu season. Still not good, you know. And there's some lingering effects to some people that the flu doesn't normally give people. So it's, I mean, you don't want anybody getting it, but it's the numbers. If we knew that going in, we wouldn't have shut the place down. I don't think.
I don't know, because as you talked about before, there's a big fear element here, the fear of the unknown.
But we put the fear into people. We did that.
Well, I know that, but the fear raised the anxiety and raised the reaction of people across the country. And it is the fear of the unknown. If you say that this is flu-like, you know, you're comparing the numbers of the deaths. What is it, 50 or 60,000 annually die of the flu?
No, you're talking about what percentage of the people who get it die. I mean, that's the
right
number you're looking at.
But the fear that we have right now is that it's much worse than, has a higher death rate than is actual, because even based on the numbers. And while 160,000 is a tremendously high number, and you certainly don't want to be or know somebody who's in that 160,000. That number pales by comparison if you're looking at 5 million cases or you're looking at 50 million cases.
Well, I've read articles where that seem pretty good research, where people have started analyzing doctor's visits from essentially Thanksgiving through the end of February or March. And they think 7 million people had it, 6 to 7 million people had it before we even acknowledged the thing was here.
Mm-hmm.
And if those numbers start being right, then the morbidity is, well, plus, Brennan, how do you...
Much lower.
Plus, how do you do, I don't know if you were hanging around the show, if you were with us when we had Professor Goodhart, and he was talking about Goodhart's law is anytime you you either, you know, your economic, your policy is towards an index. Once you start making policy towards an index, the thing has no use as an index anymore. So when you give people a bonus in a hospital of like 20 or 25% for a COVID death versus others when you're getting paid for by Medicare and so forth, how do you not tell yourself that those numbers are no good?
Mm-hmm.
Because how can they be?
Yep, I see your point.
Well, I've heard now three people from Florida have told me that they got in a line and then they got out of line for the COVID, and they got sent up because it was like a 50 or minute or an hour wait. And one person told me directly, and two other people said they knew people, and that they ended up getting a thing in the mail that they had a positive test, and they never even made it through the line.
Hmm.
And the tests were
given. That seems very difficult to do.
Yeah. And we have a test that allegedly gives sometimes 2, 3, 4, or 5% false positives.
Well, that's what happened with Governor DeWine in Ohio just last week.
So New York one day
had a positive and came back twice negative.
Well, plus, just in my search for truth here, Brennan, which is hard to do, I can always start talking about our city. How is it that when you give the results of the tests and the positive tests, why can't you be even a modicum of truth and say, today's what, Tuesday? Why can't you say today, on Monday, in Illinois, we gave the state gave 45,000 tests, and the results from last Wednesday, which became available yesterday, and which we gave 40, 50, 60, 30, whatever the number is 3,000 positive. Mm-hmm. Why do we constantly try and match up yesterday's amount of tests with 5 days ago or 6 days ago's amount of positives? What does that do for anybody?
There are a couple of things wrong with that analysis. That means, first, you're right, that if the tests were given last Wednesday, the numbers of positives should be from last week. But also, they're less effective if they're announced yesterday and they were actually given last Wednesday, because who knows what has happened in those intervening 5 days.
Well, that's why you got to get back in line and get another test.
Mm-hmm.
We're giving 800,000 tests a day, Brenna.
Which is silly.
Yeah. But yet there are tests, from what my guys, some of my clients are involved in this stuff, there are tests, like the ones the Major League Baseball players take. It's gross enough, but you spit in a cup. They don't stick the thing up your nose.
Mm-hmm.
Evidently, you can turn that one around in a day, and it's pretty close to 100% accurate. Where the one, how do you in New York, how do you give, if you give 50,000 tests and 1,100 of them come back positive, and the test has a 3% false positive rate, what does that mean? You got negative people that have it?
I don't know. It is amazing to me that when you look at entities like Major League Baseball, or you look at political staffs like the White House and the people who are around the president, how quickly the turnaround can be for those tests. And yet the general public has to wait 5, 10, 14 days for test results, which makes them meaningless and a waste of money. You know, that goes back to your giving money to the hospitals for their tests. When you think about the fact that the companies that are doing the testing get paid $50, $100 per test, and yet the results don't come back for 5 or 10 days, that's just wasted money.
Well, sure it is. Sure it is. I have, you know, people send me letters and stuff all the time, Brenner, emails or whatever, and, you know, at the end of the day, there's a lot of people to point fingers at in this, but one of the places to point fingers at dramatically are hospitals. They
mm-hmm.
didn't contain the disease at all in the place. They were not set up for a contagious disease. Virtually, well, I won't say everybody, but an awful lot of people that I know got the disease had a family member that worked in a hospital. And then they all got it at home. They didn't get mm-hmm. it. They didn't get it by not wearing a mask, walking by somebody on the sidewalk. None of that stuff. Hey, I'm just going to lob this one out there. I don't want to get into the big debate, but And then we got only a couple minutes for the city. There's a study came out and said that the masks, the gator masks and the really stupid stagecoach masks may increase the transmission, not decrease it. Hey, what's going on with the city? Why, why this morning, as we're late for the show, why all of a sudden, why the bridges are closed till 6 o'clock? Do we really think, this is, does our mayor even realize that people are at work downtown at 6? Just because she shows up at 9, is she, are these people so totally off the chain that they don't even, that they have no idea what's going on? There's no looters are going to be here between 5 and 6, yet people go to work at 5. And yet the whole downtown shut down.
I understand the point, and it does not make sense to me. The people who are working overnight shifts, I mean, people who clean buildings are there overnight who need to get home before 6 o'clock, as well as people who start working, probably less so now than a few months ago, but, you know, the people who are in restaurants, who like Starbucks or other breakfast places, who open their doors to the public at 6 o'clock have to get in to prep, and that's a problem.
Well, even your regular restaurant, you're in making your soup at 4 in the morning.
That's right, yeah.
But, I mean, how do we continue to elect people? I'm not saying they're bad people. That they are absolutely not of the upper tier of people that you want in those jobs. They seem clueless. I mean, there's arrogance that I can, you know, I can walk out of wherever I'm at and just become president tomorrow. Look what we get when those things happen. We got a governor, a mayor, and a president that are, what are they? They're not even a top 10,000 people qualified for those jobs.
Yeah, well, you know, I think there's been a transition in the way that we elect our leaders. And a lot of times it's who's charismatic. I mean, there are certain people that you want to have in a leadership role, even though they cannot be elected because of their personality. And by that I mean that they're dull. And one of the people that I remember is Adlai Stevenson, who came across as a horrible people person. He was not good at small talk. And I'm talking about Adlai III. I never knew Adlai II, the guy who ran for president twice, but his son, who was U.S. Senator here in Illinois, he was horrible in personal one-to-one, but I thought he was a very good, smart, and ideal senator. But the chances of him being elected today would be, well, he's from Illinois as a Democrat, so he'd probably get elected pretty easily. But
well, he'd never get nominated.
Merits, he would not be elected because of his personality.
Put another way, he would never be nominated.
Never nominated, right. But then you've got other folks who have a special expertise in one area or another. I mean, that's what happens with a lot of folks around the country right now. They're business people who are successful. Although J.B. Pritzker inherited most of his money instead of working to build a company. And so they've got an area of expertise in one thing that looks like they're attractive, but when other areas come up that are crisis-making, they don't have the skill set to handle those crises.
Well, he just outspent everybody in the primary, so everybody got out of the primary, and then nobody liked Rauner, so he walked in.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Brendan, thank you very much, bud. Sorry for us being a few minutes late. S&P Futures up 19 and a quarter, NASDAQ Futures up 28. Be right back, Stocks and Yaks.
How much confidence do you have that your investments will make you wealthy? Do you truly know the odds? Welcome to Luckbox, the control freak's guide to life, money, and probability. Luckbox shows you how to gauge the likelihood of success before you commit to an investment or any other decision. And Luckbox is free for 1 year at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Each new issue dives deep into the current investing climate, separates the signal from the noise with relevant trade ideas, and equips you with cutting-edge tactics you don't already know. Luckbox is the essential magazine for proactive investors who are hell-bent on pursuing life, luxury, and happiness through sports, fitness, travel, food, spirits, music, and a whole lot more. Smart investors don't bet on possibilities, they play the probabilities. Luckbox is $7.99 on newsstands, but you can subscribe for 10 free digital issues at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Don't rely on luck. Get Luckbox at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks.
Hello, I'm David Andelman, founder and president of DAX Research, a registered commodity trading advisor. I'm also a wealth manager and a frequent contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio show. For more than 30 years, professional traders at the Chicago Mercantile Exchange, including four past CME presidents, have chosen DAX Research to help guide their trading. That same research is now available to you. We are offering three of our research newsletter, the Daily World News Report, our daily stock and futures trading recommendations, and our twice weekly top three tiers of recommended stocks, including potential shorts. Each of these reports are available via email before the market opens. Go to our website, www.dacsresearch.net, to obtain the tool that meets your trading and investment needs. Or call me and get 2 weeks free with a one-month subscription. 1-800-821-4968. Stock and futures trading have risk of loss and are not suitable for everyone.
This self-directed trading is a lonely job. Online trading is not as easy as point and click.
No, it's not. Everyone, even professionals, need to share ideas and think out loud every now and then.
That's what I like about PTI Pro Direct. Their staff of former option floor traders really helps me choose the right strategy for trading option volatility and plan the time decay for my covered writing program.
Yep, nothing can replace years of trading experience to stop you from making that dumb trade and for saving a few bucks. We've all been there and done that.
Yeah, I have access to all that great trading advice and experience for just a penny a share for stocks, $1 for equity options, and $1 minimum a trade.
Our clients at PTI Pro Direct can call when they need a little help on a trade or just to talk about the market in general. We trade every day. We love this stuff.
That's what I like most about PTI Pro Direct. Cheap prices along with great advice from real floor traders. It's the best of both worlds.
Tell your friends. That's PTIProDirect.com. PTIProDirect.com.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. We've talked a lot on the show about risk and suitability, about how your portfolio should match your age, income, and risk appetite. It's been hard for investors to maintain that suitability in the last several years due to a Fed strategy that has driven interest rates to virtually zero. You may have even heard that the Fed was trying to drive conservative investors to a riskier portfolio on purpose, for whatever reason. I'm sure you're aware of investors that took some increased risk, such as longer-term fixed income securities, and are now unhappy with that choice. At PTI, we've always stressed total portfolio risk awareness and tried to minimize chasing returns in a tough environment. Well, now it looks like maybe interest rates are moving more towards historical levels. Everyone needs to be aware of what that continued movement might do to your portfolio, both good and bad. We also have a stock market that seems to have stalled, at least for the short term. I think it's time for everyone to take a serious look at their goals, their risks, and their portfolios. Do they match? If not, we can help. We have a signature protected index program. We have ways to hedge against interest risk. We can make that portfolio right for you again. Go to PTISecurities.com or call us right now. The market can change very rapidly. That's PTISecurities.com.
Stocks, jocks,
stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now.
Well, welcome back, Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Howell. She's AV on the board. S&P futures up 1950. NASDAQ futures up 26. Dow futures up 255. We got some rumor out of Russia that they have a coronavirus vaccine. I don't know, boy, if you trade on that, but it's one of the reasons why we're up this morning, allegedly. Well, one of the reasons is Europe, DAX up 343, that's 2.7%. FTSE up 151, it's 2.5. CAC round up 137, it's 2.8. We have China car sales were up, so we're grasping every sort of number here. Nikkei up 420, that's 2%. Shanghai down 38, 1.1%, that's odd. Hang Seng up 513, 2.1. So we've got pretty much rallies all over the place this morning. Bonds, we have the 10-year 0.6, so it's actually up 3 basis points. Bund, minus 0.48. Japan, almost as high as 0.03 to the positive. That's as high as they've been. Oil up 78 cents, 42.72. Brent up 65, 45.64. Natural gas up 6 cents, 2.22. RBOB 125, that's up 2.5 cents as well. Gold, however, down. $48, $19.90. Wow, big smack in the gold. Silver down $1.29, $27.96, and copper down 8 cents. Dollar is up, so gold is down. That's the way that works. EV, what do you got for us? Traffic, weather, sports? A lot of traffic, or well, not much traffic because we're holding everybody out of the loop. What do you got?
There's some traffic too. Well, let's start with the weather. It's 66 currently in Chicago. The day expected to be sunny with just a few clouds. The highest of the day will be 79, and then it will drop to 65. The night might get a bit windy. Also, cooler and less humid conditions are expected for at least the next couple of days. Dry weather will likely prevail through Friday, though small chances exist for a few storms Friday afternoon. It's mainly sunny in Phoenix, high around 110 Fahrenheit, 87 at night. There is an accident on Eisenhower reported, Eisenhower West at Austin Boulevard, which blocks the left line. Traffic is particularly heavy on Kennedy inbound today because the express lanes are still flowing outbound. The delay starts at Belmont. As reported, the ramps have been removed and now access to downtown is restored. And our favorite sports report have White Sox lost to Tigers 1-5, and Diamondbacks get 18 hits in 12-8 win over Rockies.
The Hawks play tonight. The Hawks are playing. I think it's a late game though. They're playing. They're big underdogs against the Las Vegas team.
Have Joel with us too.
Joel, how are you, bud?
Good morning, Chief. What's going on there?
We've become worse than Detroit, finally.
Man, well, I don't like that phraseology, but what is going on?
We don't seem to know. We seem to have a mayor, a police chief, a prosecutor that are absolutely overwhelmed by violence, and they don't seem to know how to deal with it. Some of the stuff they do, it's almost like the looters were able to mobilize, drive in caravans downtown and basically beat the police here. And they double park in front of the buildings they're looting, and we don't even do something intelligent like bring out a few garbage trucks and block the cars in and trap everybody here. So what we do is we let everybody downtown. Let everybody leave that did all the looting, and then we open up the bridges so regular people can't come to work.
I give you guys credit for coming downtown and doing your job. I'm reading it, and the Magnificent Mile is a war zone, huh?
Yep. Well, right by me, and it's. They have the Binnie's and the Best Buy. There's a huge Binnie's and Best Buy right by where I live, near North. And Lincoln Park. I mean, it's a couple miles away. It's not downtown at all. And it's the same places they got looted last time. So the people that are doing it are exceptionally well organized. I mean, I don't know if the police, I assume they are. I mean, the people you arrest, are they taking their cell phones and figuring out who the hell called them and working back up the chain to find out? Just give you an example. This is not Black Lives Matter, Joel. The Binnie's by me, I go in and I buy whatever I'm buying, right? It's a big, huge store. I mean, it's a massive liquor store. The biggest one probably you've ever seen. And I never knew that there was a double secret back room for one percenters like you, where you go in and you get escorted into this locked room and it says sort of 500-hour bottles of cognac. I didn't even know there were 500-hour bottles of cognac. And then, the collector's items, Moet and Chandon, champagne and stuff, were $1,000 a bottle. These guys knew right to go where to go last time. Went back to the same Binnie's. And Joel, they're all on camera. They're absolutely shameless. They have zero respect of anybody catching them. I mean, when was the last time, if you and I ever decided we want to go rob a place, I don't think we'd ever have the stones to walk in, smile for the camera, and turn around and walk out and have our car parked at the door where you get the license plate as well.
Well, Trump was bringing in, forces, in other cities. Why isn't that happening in Chicago?
Well, nobody held on to a building like they did in Portland or Seattle.
Right.
So everybody went home with their stuff. And, and some people got arrested this time. But the first time, I don't know what's going to happen to them. I mean, I can't imagine somebody wanting that lease. Macy's probably going to close. That's the old Marshall Fields, which is the anchor of Chicago, for God's sake, when it comes to retail. State Street Fields has been there for what? How many years?
I'm sorry to hear that, man. Being a resident of Chicago for 7 years and everything, and having friends and people that still live there, my heart goes out to you. I wish things could be better, but doesn't sound like it's getting better anytime soon.
I would say that one of my buddies, an attorney, he's been on the show a few times, at no point in losing his name, lives River North, and I'm going to say the value of his place is down. I mean, to put it bluntly, his wife is all over him to sell what's getting the suburbs.
Yeah.
And I'll bet if he puked it out today, he'd take a $100,000 loss. Between nobody needing to work down here, nobody having a yard, I mean, you can't give. And the interesting thing, Joel, is that the years ago, before 2007, 2008, say a wealthy dude like yourself, if you lived in the burbs and your daughter says, Pops, I'm going to go live downtown, I'm going to guess you'd be one of those guys who said, wait a minute, you're not living in Wicker Park. I'm not having you park your car, even though the neighborhood is allegedly safe, and so is mine. But doesn't mean you essentially want a 21-year-old girl parking her car two blocks away and walking home at 2 in the morning after a date. You know, it's not... So you're going to say, Pops is going to say, tell you what, how about if I buy this condo in this high-rise where I know you can always pull in the parking lot, there's a 24-hour security.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll buy the condo. This was in 1999 or 2000 or 98. Well, of course, 2007, 2008 comes along, and you basically get your ass kicked on the condo. So now the new generation of guys with the, I'm going to say daughter, but it could be son too. But generally, guys are a little less concerned about their son and daughter. Of course, now
right.
They're be shooting bullets around. Doesn't really matter whether you're male or female. Bullet hurts just as bad, right? So now you're going to say, I'm not doing that again. So what people have done in the last 10 years is all these buildings that have gone up are all rentals. So you'll say, you know, Susie, here's the deal. I want you in this building. The rent's $2,000. I'm going to give you $1,000.
Right.
And hopefully in a year you find a boyfriend or a husband or something. But so you say, I'm into this for $12,000, or if it's 2 years, it's 24. It's the worst that could happen. I'm not buying. I'm not having to be stuck with this albatross. So now all these buildings are rental. So now,
yeah,
now
wow.
Yeah, so now these people, I'm going to say, come November 1st, they're half full. Nobody's down here. Why would you want to rent down here if you're working from home? When you're in a building without even a balcony. Talk about jail. Audrey claims now that when people would talk about, it always has changed. She's been in real estate for a long time. If you were to say, she says to me, what's the number one thing people are asking for now when they look for a house? And I said, well, it's probably home office. She goes, that's number two. They want a yard. They don't care. They need to be able to go outside and sit at least an hour a day. They don't care if it's wintertime. Living in a building, when I ran into a guy last week, he knows me from the trading floor years and years ago. He goes, God, I'm back to work. I love it. I go, what do you mean? He goes, well, we got divorced in February before this happened. So I move out and I get this. I figure all I need is a one bedroom downtown. I work most of the time anyway. So I get locked in this one bedroom without a balcony. I've been in there for 3 months. He goes, I'm dying. I couldn't wait to come back to work. I mean, I'm sure he's not alone, Joel. He goes, I got to find a place to be outside. He goes, the health club in my building closed. The swimming pool, they drained. He goes, what the hell? I mean, this, you don't want to be down here. There's nobody here. There's nobody here except looters and us.
All right. Well, we didn't get to talk much markets today.
What the market real quick, is the football season officially closed or what?
I don't know. I heard it was yesterday, then the coaches made it stand, and then I hear there was a 12-2 vote, so I don't know what the hell's going on. I heard on again, off again, and then this morning I saw there was a 12-2 vote, but the Motor City Kitties are playing okay. I mean, when it comes to sports, as far as the market goes today, I mean, you know, I always make jokes about the, the so-and-so trick, you know. And, oh, I didn't, you know, boy, that's an old trick. I tell you, the old Russian vaccine, that's one trick in the book I haven't seen before. So that's what's moving the markets today, and we'll see. Hopefully you can hold these gains.
Last question, Joel. Line, yes, for the Russian vaccine, is Joel in the front, the middle, or the end?
Where's Putin's daughter?
Yeah.
No comment, Chief. No comment.
Well, I think more appropriate, where's Putin?
Yeah. Okay.
All right, bud.
All right.
Take
next
care of yourself.
Let's have a good week, man.
Yes.
Let's have some. Give me some better news next week, okay?
Yeah, no kidding. I'll try.
All right. Thanks, Chief.
I mean, Do we have Kenny, or are we going to break?
Break time.
All right, S&P Futures up 18. We've got a short break. Come back, Kenny Pulcheri.
Hello, this is Tom Howe, the Chief. We've talked a lot on the show about risk and suitability, about how your portfolio should match your age, income, and risk appetite. It's been hard for investors to maintain that suitability in the last several years due to a Fed strategy that has driven interest rates to virtually zero. You may have even heard that the Fed was trying to drive conservative investors to a riskier portfolio on purpose, for whatever reason. I'm sure you are aware of investors that took some increased risk, such as longer-term fixed-income securities, and are now unhappy with their choice. At PTI, we have always stressed total portfolio risk awareness and tried to minimize chasing returns in a tough environment. Well, now it looks like maybe interest rates are moving more towards historical levels. Everyone needs to be aware of what that continued movement might do to your portfolio, both good and bad. We also have a stock market that seems to have stalled, at least for the short term. I think it's time for everyone to take a serious look at their goals, their risks, and their portfolios. Do they match? If not, we can help. We have a signature protected index program. We have ways to hedge against interest risk. We can make that portfolio right for you again. Go to PTISecurities.com or call us right now. The market can change very rapidly. That's PTISecurities.com.
This is John Neal from PTI Securities and Futures and a frequent contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, as well as the branch manager of our Peoria, Arizona location. I hope you, like many of our listeners, have benefited from the outstanding market returns of the last several years. But have you recently become unsettled due to the worldwide geopolitical uncertainty and the looming Federal Reserve interest rate hikes? Have you been frustrated by the lack of income your investments have provided? If you have answered yes to either of these questions, then we can help you. Here at PTI, we offer a unique variety of income-producing securities as well as our proprietary hedging program to protect your assets. So please give me a call at 602-298-1278, 602-298-1278, so that I can explain further the benefits that PTI can offer you and your portfolio.
Interested in promoting your business to a high-end audience comprised of entrepreneurs, traders, executives, and the everyday business person? Consider advertising on Stocks and Jocks. With a devout listenership covering the Chicago market, along with a vast online presence, advertising on Stocks and Jocks may be just what it takes to put your business over the top. For more information, contact me, Matt Weber, at matt@stocksandjocks.net. That's matt@stocksandjocks.net.
Stocks, Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
Hello and welcome back to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Ausch. He's AV on the board. SP Futures up 19 and a quarter. NASDAQ Futures up 975. Individual stocks. We've got American Express up 2. We've got Boeing up almost $5. We've got Home Depot up 2.25. We got Goldman Sachs up 2.50. Kenny, how are you, bud?
Hey, good. How are you?
Oh, sorry for being a few minutes late, but we had to work our way in. We have a mayor that opens the city to looters, but now the last 2 days, people who work down here have not been able to get here till 6 o'clock.
Yeah, what is the deal with that?
If you can find an answer, please let me know.
Yeah, I sit here and I just watch on the news and I'm just amazed at what I see. That I don't understand how. Whatever, let's not get into it because it's going to get ugly if we get into it.
Well, let me put it this way. I'll tell you because you're in Florida and you can't come up here and use my route. Allegedly, now of course, if we still had traders on the floor and we blocked off every exit to the city, it's up until 6 o'clock. I can't imagine the chaos we would have. I mean, there's no looters here now. Why are we harassing the people who actually work here? Our people who are in charge, Kenny. It's just like our people are in charge. You know, money supply. People don't seem to have any qualifications for the job they have. Doesn't the mayor know that if you open up a restaurant, you're cooking soup and everything at 3:30 or 4 in the morning? That these downtown offices get cleaned by people overnight? I mean,
yeah, I don't understand it. I don't understand it. I really don't. And I'm not even living in Chicago, but when I look at what's happening from here, I think to myself, who's in charge? Right?
Probably no one. But God help you, if you're standing on the beach too close to somebody, they're coming after you. God help you.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, it's so funny because although I'm not in New York, that's the way it is in New York too, right? You can't go out to dinner. You can't go to a gym. You can't do anything. But yet there's congregations of people. You know, whether they're homeless or whatever, it's a big, huge problem now in Manhattan. Because it's summertime and people are out, they're not in, right? They're just congregating in all over the place. But yet, everyone, you know, de Blasio's just turning a blind eye. Oh, nothing to see here. Just keep moving on. Don't worry about it. But yet, Cuomo says, God forbid you go out to dinner, or God forbid you go to a gym, or God forbid you want to have, you know, six people to your house. You can't do it.
Well, Kenny, there's, I was reading some. I'm in this coronavirus. Somebody's hooked me up with this thing, and I get stuff every day. And They asked some guy, okay, what's the most likely way for you to get it? And the guy said, well, you know, it could happen here, it could happen there. He said, by and large, you need to be within 6 feet of somebody in an enclosed area for probably 15 minutes.
Right.
For you to get that much of a viral load. And I'm reading that and I'm going, sounds a lot like home, doesn't it? I mean, it's, anyway, but I have a sneaky little trick that I'll tell you because you're not here. They say the only way into the city would be like LaSalle Street and their checkpoints. You can always sneak in on Harrison because they never mess with that bridge because that's where the post office is.
I hear you.
So we have snuck in on there the last 2 days to get in, but to get from AV's place, because the outer drive, normally when I come in with her, I take the outer drive to Lower Wacker. Well, the outer drive bridge is up. So you can't come in on the on the drive. You can't come across Columbus. You can't come across Michigan. And this is, there's no looter in sight. I mean, do looters get up at 5:30 in the morning? I don't think so.
Right.
But instead of, we could have arrested all the looters just for not wearing a mask. And
that doesn't sell the story, right? You don't want to do that.
But we have Kim Fox, and part of this is she's running for state's attorney. The whole routine is, you know, I don't know who they're pandering to, Kenny, but the whole story between her and Tony Preckwinkle, we're essentially governed by African American women, okay? Which I don't have an issue with that really. But the story is that virtually everybody in jail is not guilty. They shouldn't be there.
Right.
So she stopped prosecuting for shoplifting like a year ago.
Yeah.
So now if you own a store on Michigan Avenue, is that a good thing for you? I'm thinking no. So the idea is people didn't get arrested the first time they did this or didn't get prosecuted. So the police chief said yesterday, I've never seen anything where people are so brazen that they have no consequences for this.
Right.
Well, my solution is why don't we arrest them all for not having a mask? Everybody knows there's consequences of that.
Listen, we'll talk about this all day because it's beyond frustrating for sure.
All right, so what about two questions. What about the market? And what about when does the, I'll use the term, civil unrest, lack of rent, Kenny, I'm reading stuff that they're talking about 40% of the people in certain areas aren't going to make their rent payment on September 1st.
Agreed. And so what are they going to do about that, right? They're not going to pay their rent. They can't be evicted. I'd say okay with that because a lot of the people who end up campaigning their rent lost their jobs not as a result of what they did, but as a result of what the government did. So
right.
I got no issue with that at all. I just wish that down in D.C. they'd stop playing politics. And stop politicizing it and just come to the table and talk. I mean, if you listen to each side and it's frustrating, but, you know, Mnuchin said, look, we're happy to talk. We're just not going to spend like a drunken sailor with reckless abandon, but we're happy to, let's agree on the items we agree on and let's negotiate on the ones that we seem to be far apart. And now it just seems like they're even further apart than they were on Friday. So, but yet the market doesn't seem to care. Look, futures are up, partly because Trump's now talking about more tax cuts, whether it's on capital gains and or payroll. And then, you know, Vladimir Putin comes out and surprises the market in the wee hours of the morning about, you know, some vaccine that the Russians have now approved and apparently are using, right? Putting up his own daughter as the first guinea pig to show the country that, you know, it's safe.
Why wasn't he at first? He doesn't like his daughter?
Well, isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
Now I think I'll put my daughter up and see.
Maybe she's the black sheep of the family. Never liked her.
Well, maybe, but you know, it's so funny because naturally, as you would expect, you know, everybody from the developed world is poo-pooing the results and saying that, you know, there's only 100 people that tried it. It's really a phase one trial. They're equivalent of the FDA, even though they signed off on it. Is really a joke, essentially, if you listen to the scientists and epidemiologists that have been on TV already this morning, is that nobody's buying into it. And listen, and I don't necessarily disagree with that, but it was the way the headline, you know, stole the show, in the pre-market hours about, you know, Russia found a vaccine and Putin put up his daughter to prove to everybody that it's okay. The markets have certainly backed off. from where they were earlier. The S&P was just kissing the all-time high, you know, and it feels like, even away from that headline, that the momentum guys want to push it up and through. They just want to get it over with. I thought we were a little overdone at 33.50. I think if we hit 33.86 today, then we're really overdone, and you got to see the market kind of back off a little bit.
Why, Kenny, in terms of overdone, in terms of our idea of P ratios and everything, it's one thing, yeah. But if we, these guys, as you well know, I'm one of a few knuckleheads in the world that still looks at money supply numbers, and I thought it was a joke a month ago, but now it's not a joke. We're going to have a 40% increase this year in money supply.
Yeah, I hear you. I mean, just look at what they're doing. All they're doing is just running the printing presses. I don't think the printing presses are going to stop, right?
Well, I wonder if the market's going to stop.
Well, I think the market, listen, as long as they keep running it, right, real rates are now negative, as you and I spoke about, right?
Oh, yeah.
If you take the nominal rate less inflation, we're really at negative 1%. So whether or not you want to say if rates in this country gone negative, they have gone negative. And so where else are you going to put your money, right? Where else are you going to do it? And so equities will continue to be stretched, in my opinion. Certainly, they are stretched. And you're going to need one little headline that's going to kind of unravel it all. And as quickly, right, we talked about this a number of times, you know, it goes up in this stair-step pattern, but it goes down on the elevator, and it goes straight down.
What happens if they get a
no real stop, you know?
Well, we got a 0.6 CPI number last month. What if we get a 1.4 this month?
We had a what last month?
We had a 0.6.
We had a 0.6, right.
CPI number.
I don't know. Yeah. It's going to be interesting to see what happens. But, listen, I think the market, like I said, I thought the market was overdone at 33.50. I thought it just needed to take a breath and churn and kind of consolidate a little bit, and it just hasn't done it. First of all, the algos won't let it. The momentum guys are just feeding on it. It's like a frenzy. Who could be the first one to, you know, hit the button when it hits 33.86 on the S&P? They're all going to celebrate. But that's when I think then, you know, everyone turns around and says, you know, what's going on? Now, I understand the transports have, look what happened to the transport yesterday. They were up almost 2.8%. That index is up 19% just since June alone. And that would argue for the better outlook, right? Because you got the Dow, which is not hitting new highs yet, but is certainly appearing on its way, right? It's only down 2.5% on the year when it was down close to 30 back in March. But the transports are signaling higher. NASDAQ, there's this movement out of growth into value. We've been talking about that now for a while. You saw even with the market up yesterday, the Dow up 1.5%. NASDAQ was off almost 0.5% because there's this transition. People are moving money out of some of those growth names and building a more defensive kind of cyclical portfolio. And that makes perfect sense. But I think that just speaks to people getting a little bit curious about the market being ahead of itself.
I think in a lot of ways, Kenny, is we'll never hear the numbers from these, whatever they want to call them. I won't say anything bad. But I think the people who are left, I mean, I'm not talking about airlines or some of the retailers, but the amount of people that are left, I mean, you look at, I think Apple, I think 3M, with all the stuff, and they had some guy on with Clorox yesterday. They tried to ask him how much he actually was making on his hand sanitizers. And of course, the guy dodged that like if it was a, you know, fart in church, for God's sake. I think the amount of price increases you're seeing at your Home Depots and places, and the power they have now, considering the fact they're the only places open, they can raise these prices all they want. And the CPI is going to ignore it. I mean, you and I go everywhere, and I see them just nothing but going up. So yeah, the narrow world that we've created with the three or four big places in every industry, they can raise prices all they want, especially with the government now. We're going to get some numbers here. And the Fed, no matter what they say, even though this guy has no stones whatsoever in my mind, Powell, if he starts seeing, even though he's rigging the numbers, if he starts getting 2 or 3 months in a row of 1% CPI, all of a sudden the call is going to go to Goldman Sachs. Don't be buy and sell. And when the day that call happens, you don't want to be long the market.
Right.
Anyway, Kenny, right. So I'll catch you next week, buddy.
You know what concerns me, too, is that they've already come out and said that they're going to let, he's potentially going to let inflation rear its ugly head for a little bit before they become aggressive. But here's the issue with that. I think once inflation takes hold, I think it's going to take hold in such a way that it's going to spin out of control, and then they're going to be way behind the eight ball, and then they're going to raise rates by full percentage point versus this quarter of 1% that they've been talking about, and that then is going to cause, you know, the unraveling as well.
Kenny, I think I remember in 1977 or 78, I went back and looked. I'll look again. It was like 5% in 6 months.
Yeah.
Kenny, yeah. You and I are old. We remember this. We're not supposed to talk. We're not supposed to take care of yourself, buddy. No, hey, why don't you come visit? There's plenty of room in the hotels here. You probably get a nice deal in a hotel here. Come on and visit. See ya. S&P futures up 18. S&P futures up 7. Be right back.
Hello, this is Tom Howe, the Chief. We've talked a lot on the show about risk and suitability, about how your portfolio should match your age, income, and risk appetite. It's been hard for investors to maintain that suitability in the last several years due to a Fed strategy that has driven interest rates to virtually zero. You may have even heard that the Fed was trying to drive conservative investors to a riskier portfolio on purpose, for whatever reason. I'm sure you're aware of investors that took some increased risk, such as longer-term fixed income securities, and are now unhappy with that choice. At PTI, we've always stressed total portfolio risk awareness and tried to minimize chasing returns in a tough environment. Well, now it looks like maybe interest rates are moving more towards historical levels. Everyone needs to be aware of what that continued movement might do to your portfolio, both good and bad. We also have a stock market that seems to have stalled, at least for the short term. I think it's time for everyone to take a serious look at their goals, their risks, and their portfolios. Do they match? If not, we can help. We have a signature protected index program. We have ways to hedge against interest risk. We can make that portfolio right for you again. Go to PTIsecurities.com or call us right now. The market can change very rapidly. That's PTIsecurities.com.
Hello, I'm David Andelman, founder and president of DAX Research, a registered commodity trading advisor. I'm also a wealth manager and a frequent contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio show. For more than 30 years, professional traders at the Chicago Mercantile Exchange, including four past CME presidents, have chosen DAX Research to help guide their trading. That same research is now available to you. We are offering three of our research newsletter, the Daily World News Report, our daily stock and futures trading recommendations, and our twice weekly top three tiers of recommended stocks, including potential shorts. Each of these reports are available via email before the market opens. Go to our website, www.dacsresearch.net, to obtain the tool that meets your trading and investment needs. Or call me and get 2 weeks free with a one-month subscription, 1-800-821-4968. Stock and futures trading have risk of loss and are not suitable for everyone.
Hear ye, hear ye! The Homer Broadcasting System is on the air!
Stocks, jocks,
Stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control!
Right here, right now, right here, right now.
Welcome back, Stacks and Jacks. I'm Tom Howe. She's AV on the board. S&P futures up 18. NASDAQ futures up 2. We have an alleged Russian vaccine where Putin's going to put his daughter out there, but not him. I'm not sure how that works. Jeff, what do you think of that?
I'm standing in line right behind Putin's daughter. I think I'm next on the list.
I think you'd be at the end of the line, not the front. I'm just saying.
Hi, Chief. How are you?
I can see you putting Mike up at the front of the line and you at the end. Mike, if you walk by me and you're still walking, then I'll go up there.
Yeah, I hear you.
Hey, here, Mike had a little one this week.
Yeah, how about that, huh?
Yeah, great. Good for him.
Good looking boy.
Everybody's healthy, I assume?
Everyone's good.
Good.
It's
good.
All good.
Yeah. So how are you? We have a mayor that doesn't understand that people need to get to work before 6.
So I'd like to understand that a little bit more. What was blocked off this morning?
Every exit off the Ryan or the Kennedy, you can't get off any downtown exit. Every bridge, I believe, was up. The Lakeshore Drive, we couldn't get through. I think every bridge was up. They claim except LaSalle. There might be, but little does anybody know that they never open up the one on Harrison where the post office is. So that's my secret route in. So I sneak up to Splains to Harrison and come across on Harrison. But yesterday
not enough to just decimate the restaurant industry. You got to take out actual business now too, and people who are trying to work from offices.
Right. Yeah.
Is Lightfoot an investor in Zoom?
You wonder. I just think they don't have any idea that there's people. I mean, if some of the exchanges are trying to open up, There's people here at 4 in the morning. I mean, they're doing stuff. There's people trading overseas. I mean, what are you doing? Now we're going to shut... Plus, it didn't... From what I understand from what the police chief said yesterday, and he sounded, you know, pretty good, there was this incident on the south side, Jeff, where some guy who's 20 years old was running away and turned around and started shooting police. They returned fire. They hit the guy. He's not dead. Of course, the rumors fly. Now, he's a 20-year-old kid with four priors, and he's out on the street. How do you get four priors at age 20 and somehow be out of jail?
And what practice?
What are we doing with this? So he's out. Of course, he's got a gun, which I don't think if you're a felon you're supposed to have. Just saying. There's absolutely zero respect for any law whatsoever. So of course the neighborhood goes up. But Jeff, there's this undercurrent. The mobilization of the looters happened essentially in a flash. I'm not talking about a flash mob. The police chief is saying this on the air. So he goes, there was a caravan of cars coming downtown from the south side.
Right.
Now, He didn't say anything about we immediately blocked off downtown, opened up the bridges, and didn't let anybody down here. They all got down here. They were able to mobilize faster than the police. Now, how does that even... You're the guy who knows all about electronics, not me. How do we not... How does in this day and age, how do we not know that, see it, stop, and anybody gets downtown? Now there's cars double parked in front of Macy's. Now it looked to me, and I'm just an old dumbo from the south side, this is where you get about five garbage trucks, ride-out trucks, and you block all those cars in. Right? Nobody's driving out of here, the looters. Yet that didn't happen. So the looters, they arrested some. I'm not saying they arrested any. They arrest some. And the rest of them are able to leave downtown. After they leave, they open up all the bridges and cordon the place off so people can't get here for work. Yeah, what is going on? Who's running the show?
Well, I'm not sure where the surprise is. I think this is just the beginning of hundreds of conversations just like this in cities around the country. And these aren't supposed to be reactionary comments I'm about to make, but what are we expecting? What do we actually think will happen when you demoralize law enforcement in the manner that we've systemically done over the last several months? I mean, what do you think the outcome of that is going to be? I mean, I recall when, and I won't mention his name, but he's extremely senior at Disney with ABC News on a national basis, and someone I know personally, and he was invited to travel with Chicago Police several years ago, just to spend a day in a squad car and see what the day in the life was. And this was shortly after the ACLU imposed those well-known engagement rules that the ACLU recommended to the Chicago Police Department and that the CPD subsequently took on, which basically said that if you're a patrol cop and you engage anybody on the street, that you have to then write up a report, which is about a page and a half long. It took about 15 minutes, about what happened, how it resolved itself, and the extent of the engagement. So in other words, if you speak to somebody, hey, what are you doing hanging around this corner, you know, or why are you guys doing here, or break it up, any type of engagement at all resulted in a written report, a completely ridiculous overreach. But once that was enforced in Chicago, and it was enforced by CPD, cops stopped engaging. They just didn't want to do that report. It was a lot of work to do. It was too much to do. It took them off of the street. And you saw a slow increase in the amount of crime at that point. Police were no longer policing. There was no prophylactic policing whatsoever. So that's a small example, and it had a discernible and immediate reaction. And everyone knew about it. You ask any cop for the last 5 years, what impact did that have? And they'll tell you, well, we stopped policing. We started doing less, you know. And then now take the current environment where if you're first on the scene, you're not getting out of your car. You are watching whatever happens. And then, you know, add in the fact that you're likely to be responded to with violence with zero ability to do anything about it, of course it's going to happen. So I know that's not what you're asking, because that's not exactly what happened here, but if you're part of that culture, part of that class of cops who are now, you know, these are the unrespected civil participants in all of our cities, where's the proactive measures going to come from? Why do you care? Look at what we've done to their incentive. Meanwhile, and I think this is a really fair comparison, one I haven't heard of lately. Meanwhile, we have, you know, other people who are on the city payroll, teachers, who won't even consider going to work, without their list of demands, and they are being coddled, but they're paid about the same. Ones have high risk, hated by the community, essentially. The others are pandered to by the community in a low-risk situation. And look at how those two classes of essentially public servants are being treated differently. It's amazing to me that any policeman has any motivation to do their job. So when you ask the question, why wasn't policing more effective when they knew that, you know, people were driving downtown to, I mean, what do we expect of them? Why would we even expect police to be effective at all at this point? I think what we've created is a really dangerous self-destructive cycle in policing at this point, and we're going to see more death and more carnage and more public property destruction. You're going to see more policemen not engaging unless they've got a full crew behind them, and even at that point. And then on top of that, you have somebody like Fox who, you know, 25,000 cases thrown out, including murders, just over the last 4 months.
Tony Perkins,
where the courts aren't even upholding any of these arrests. So we're just perpetuating this cycle, and it's going to get worse.
I don't disagree. But the question is, where do you stick your finger to stop the dike? And for a long period of time, and I have, we had, you know, years ago, we had somebody hack into a system, and every firm has this. Had this happen. Somebody hacked in and was able to get some money out of somebody's account. And we, of course, you know, paid the person and no problem. But every bank, every brokerage firm, every business has had that happen. So you call up the Chicago police and they laugh at you. What do you call us for? This constant dumbing down of, we can't have, even if we give a test, we have to make, there needs to be 3,000 people that, quote, pass the test, and we randomly select out of the 3,000 the people we hire. You know what? Bull bleep on that, Jeff. I'd be willing to have, and I understand that when the test is in, you know, in the King's English or whatever, there's going to be some talented people who maybe have an issue with that. I'm willing to spend money, if I'm the mayor, if I, you know, God help the city if I was, and have 4 or 5 schools at night. I'll teach people for those tests. I'll have, it'll be like law review. I'll do all that stuff for everybody. But I'll be damned, Jeff, on the day that the test happens, that I'm hiring number 90 ahead of number 10. That the dumbing down of America is not going to happen on my watch. And so when you do this for years and years and years, but this has been, my dad was a policeman. He died in 1956. So I'm talking about, I'm not going about anybody, even anybody remembers alive, right? Mm-hmm. My mom said back then, when you took the sergeant's test, you just took the test. And if you wanted your name on one of the passing tests, it was $5,000. This is in 1955. So there's been issues with the Chicago Police Department forever, right? And now they've been totally overpassed by technology. They should be hiring 50 people a year out of Michigan or Chicago or Illinois or who knows, Notre Dame, right? Some place where they should be on the cyber watch, because Matty Weber, who's in that industry, will tell you that 85% of money stolen now is stolen online. And every policeman, if you walk out of a bar or restaurant and you say, this thing just read my card, and by the way, just took $3,000 out of my checking account, the guy'd be like, what are you asking me for? Talk to your bank. So we're making people, the banks now have to be their own policemen, because they're not getting any help out of anybody. And I'm going to say, I know stories where there's supposed to be two lieutenants in a district. One is supposed to be out in the district. One is supposed to be in watching the house. That the guy outside goes home. Done that forever. And what you described earlier, I think it's a very difficult job. It was a difficult job my dad had. I was too young to remember. But the thing you don't want to have happen, and this is what a problem I have with the teachers, if you tell me the litany of things of why you can't be an effective policeman and how you're afraid or don't want to stop somebody or you don't want to do the paperwork, I don't have a problem with it, Jeff. Go home. But don't get paid. Don't hide in your car at some hot dog stand and not get paid. And if you see somebody blow through a stop sign and you're not gonna pull them over, I don't need you. I mean, maybe we'll find somebody else, or maybe we won't. But the fact is, I'm not paying you to do nothing. I think we both agreed on it. Same thing with the teachers. If you're too afraid to go to work, if it's 10 below zero, Jeff, there's probably going to come a day if I'm still around when I'm 90, I'm going to say, well, I can't go to work if it's below zero because I'm frail. Well, then, Chief, it's time to give over your teaching job to somebody younger who can show up when it's below zero. Right? We're all going to get there, Jeff. But don't ask me to pay you for your job and tell me for the next hour how you can't do it. Right?
Right.
I mean, the guys who built Hoover Dam, the high scalers, Jeff, do you have any idea how hot it is up there? You see this little bench you got my ass is on? By the way, some rock came right by my head yesterday. Okay, then don't do it. I'm not asking you to. Go work in the concrete factory for 5 hours an hour or less. There's another guy who wants your job. Go. Right? Well, we somehow can't do that when it's these municipal employees. Now, we're not giving these people the policemen the respect they deserve. We're not doing anything right. And somehow or another, you know, I'll say it on a podcast. We have Kim Fox, Tony Preckwinkle, and the mayor seem to think that because they're black women, all of a sudden everybody who's a crook is going to stand down because they're one of them. They're not. They're crooks. Crooks, it doesn't matter what color you are. You're a crook, right? Am I wrong or not? I mean, I'm gonna. All of a sudden, if I'm a biggest embezzler in the world, I'm gonna stop being embezzler because the mayor gets elected is Irish, and he asked me to stop, and he's a brother Irishman. That ain't happening, Jeff. I don't think, is it?
Well, it hasn't happened.
No,
so, you know.
What are we doing here? Tony Preckwinkle last week, I was listening to her on the radio. She was on Face Today, one of these places, and all she did was talk about the miscarriage of how. The difference of the amount of black people versus white people in jail. Okay, I think that's horrible. But it doesn't mean that the people there didn't do something. I understand there should be education in the jail. I understand that the reason why the jail is overcrowded is because they closed Tinley Park mental thing. And you got everybody who came out of Tinley Park eventually stole something and now they're in jail where they don't belong in jail. They belong getting mental help someplace. I get all that. And I think we should support all that. But it doesn't mean that you let some guy out, like the guy who shot at the cop on Monday or Sunday. The guy had four priors and he's 20 years old and he's out in the street, yeah? I mean, what are we doing? How do you have four priors, like robbery and stuff, armed robbery, when you're 20 years old and be out in the street?
Well, I don't know, but what we might be doing and what many people might be doing, it's hard to imagine right now, taking this up to the national level, with the trends so intact that favor Biden in the presidential race, it's hard to imagine a different outcome. But if there is anything that could reverse that, is continuing this hot summer for another month. If we can continue to see this type of lawlessness in the city, you're just handing things right back in Trump's hands.
Sure.
And that's that, you know, there's only so many things at this point that can influence the larger general electorate and the trend of that's widening the gap between Biden and Trump. Well, technically it's been narrowing in recent days, but that's to be expected just because of how far it got. You know, this is not a 10-point election. This will be it'll end up being an under 5-point difference in the popular vote.
I'm gonna bet you a beer and I'm not a shot guy, but I'll bet you a shot of like cheap bar booze that Trump wins.
That Trump wins?
Yep.
Now, that's a tough one because, well, it's not tough because of the Electoral College and everyone knows that's where it is. I will bet you, I'll take the bet that he that he loses the popular vote. So if you want to play the middle, and we can up the stakes quite a bit, but my bet would be that he loses the popular vote.
Well, here's why I say this. As you know, I'm absolutely zero fan of Trump. Never have been, and been dying for the other party to come up with somebody decent. Now here we have
And that itself is a story that you don't hear enough of either. Is that in all these years, really, is Biden the best candidate the Democrats could serve up?
He's being,
and we all know the answer is no.
Jeff, he's being handled by somebody.
Talk about how flawed. I mean, clearly Trump's flaws are front and center and visible to the world, and painfully visible to Republican voters. But Joe Biden, you can't make a case for him. You can only make a case against Trump.
Well, I'll just lab this one. And this, everybody knows when I do the show, you know how I feel. Okay, and I don't mind that because I'm a good guy and I don't really wish bad on anybody. And when it comes to color, I've been colorblind since I was a kid. My first buddies were all black guys because I lived at my grandmother's house all the time after my dad died, and she was in the middle of a black neighborhood. So I have a totally different view of things, Jeff. And to me, I don't care. I want him to select.
You know, it's racist to say that you don't see color.
I know. Oh, yeah. That's not where you're going to
be. If you don't know that, you have not been reading White Fragility.
I know. So but the point
even though that might be in your heart and you believe that way, you can't say that because a white person cannot say that they don't see color. That is a racist thing to say.
I don't judge anybody by their color.
So go do your repentance and come back and tell me the rest of the story. But
maybe I'll go to I went to the confessional and I... What'd you get? Five Our Fathers, five Hail Marys, and five good leads?
Never heard that. That's good.
The guy goes into the priest and he said he was messing around with one of the girls in the parish. And the priest started naming the names of the five girls he thought were the girls that I was messing with. And they weren't. The guy walked out, I got five good leads. Anyway, why would you ever... If you want to pick an African American female as your vice president, God, Jeff, go ahead and do it. Don't tell me. Do not tell me, because it's an incredible insult to every Native American, to every white person, to every male in this massive Asian community that we have that seems to be doing great and everything, and they never get in anything. Why would you shut out? What percentage? 80% of your population, and say you're not even in. You could be Solomon, for God's sake. You could be an American Indian Solomon. We can't have you. You're not a black female. What are we doing here? Plus,
well, I would guess, and you know, I follow this closely. It's part of not just my role at Luckbox Magazine, but also our podcast, the Political Trade, which is about trading the political outcomes in the prediction markets. So we follow that carefully. My guess is that that was just an error, that he wanted that back. That wasn't premeditated. When asked by a reporter, would you pick a female, a black female? And he said absolutely yes. We all know he wanted that back. I mean, he really did favor Klobuchar. There's no love lost for Kamala Harris, and particularly among his wife, Jill Biden, who really, really has a thing against her. And even though she's been a long friend of the family, because with the son, Beau, and Kamala had a relationship, a friendly relationship, not a romantic one. But that's not his candidate of choice, and Klobuchar was. But he definitely put himself in a box. There's absolutely no way that he could not select a woman of color. I don't know what the markets are thinking right now with Elizabeth Warren, climbing a little bit. That's not going to happen. And you're right. Why would he possibly, why would you do that? Why would you limit your selection? And, hey, that was his instinct. He just answered a question wrong, and he knew he owed Clyburn for what James Carville called on my podcast the most significant presidential endorsement of all time. Because remember, Joe Biden was lost. He was gone. He was 7% in the prediction markets. That was his chance of winning the nomination. He had just been crushed in Iowa and New Hampshire, came in third in Vegas, or in Nevada. And going into Super Tuesday, he was lost until Jim Clyburn, third-ranking member of the House, endorsed him. And he ended up winning the South in South Carolina and the South in a big way. Joe Biden was lost. He was on the trash heap of political history, a man who's run for president over 30 years with nothing to show for it. Remember, his first presidential run was back in 68, I think, right?
Something like that, yeah.
Is that right?
Something like
68?
That. 68? Well, here's my concern
and
with
that. And then, of course, throw in, so Clyburn and COVID are basically the two things that have made him the front runner. And when the dust settles, this will be considered the most remarkable political comeback in history.
At the end of the day,
never seen a bigger comeback than Joe Biden.
Somehow or another,
in this
Jeff,
election cycle.
No matter what, though, he has to be. He can't. We just saw it, and I know you're much more attuned to me. Nobody had more going for him than Bloomberg, money, everything else. But when he showed up himself, he was a buffoon.
Well, you know, I got to tell you something. You raise a sore subject right there, because I was speaking with our editors, and our next issue of Luckbox Magazine will be a political issue, and we're, you know, in the ideation phase of stories, trying to decide, you know, how we're going to cover the general election, and we agreed that, you know, one of the key stories should be what happened to third party candidates in 2020. Why is there no third party candidate? Remember, in 2016. Gary Johnson ran as a Libertarian, got 4.6% of the popular vote. That was a big number for a third-party candidate. Not Perot or Nader numbers, but a very, very big number at 4.6. And now you don't even know the name of the Libertarian candidate, Joe Jorgensen. You don't know the name of the Green Party candidate. It's not Jill Stein. It's Howie Hawkins, right? Nobody knows these names, and no one seriously is taking Kanye seriously. And to get to my point, my thesis then was, which I shared with our editorial team, that if Michael Bloomberg ran as an independent, he would be leading in the polls today. We so desperately wanted somebody other than an 80-year-old white man, and particularly a senile one, whether he be a narcissist or just a patsy for prior administrations. We didn't want these two selections this time around, and people wanted Bloomberg. He had a following. If he ran as an independent, he would be leading in the polls today.
If you're a,
and then
if
of
you're
course, so what do you think about that premise? Do you agree with that or no?
I think somehow along the line here, Jeff, all the conspiracy people, which I've always kind of put at arm's length a little bit, although I always like to listen to them. Somehow or another, this is being orchestrated by somebody. It's somehow the old Obama group. It's Valerie Jarrett's involved. Somehow or another, there's stuff going down here. I don't think that they can take Joe Biden right now, who I don't think could come and do the show, and put two words together. I don't see how they wander him through 2 months of campaigning. I really don't. I think the reason why he's going to lose is because of him. I think he's going downhill by the day, and everybody's convinced that the person now that they're interviewing for the VP job is really going to be the president very soon. And I think it rubs people the wrong. You can fool everybody once in a while. You can fool a few people all the time. You can't fool everybody all the time. I think this is becoming very orchestrated, and people are going to not like it. I don't. I mean, I don't know who's behind it. Somehow or another, our whole election process here has been coerced or co-opted. I don't know what it is. It's not the Russians. S&P futures up 18. Nasdaq futures now down 25. Wow. We'll be right back. Stocks and Jacks.
How much confidence do you have that your investments will make you wealthy? Do you truly know the odds? Welcome to Luckbox, the control freak's guide to life, money, and probability. Luckbox shows you how to gauge the likelihood of success before you commit to an investment or any other decision. And Luckbox is free for 1 year at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Each new issue dives deep into the current investing climate, separates the signal from the noise with relevant trade ideas, and equips you with cutting-edge tactics you don't already know. Luckbox is the essential magazine for proactive investors who are hell-bent on pursuing life, luxury, and happiness through sports, fitness, travel, food, spirits, music, and a whole lot more. Smart investors don't bet on possibilities, they play the probabilities. Luckbox is $7.99 on newsstands, but you can subscribe for 10 free digital issues at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Don't rely on luck. Get Luckbox at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. Confused about investing these days? I suspect you are not alone. Investing was never easy, although at times it may have seemed so. I think one reason behind the current concern, although maybe not explained as such, is how the fluctuation in the American dollar and the associated politics is affecting your investments and your wealth. It may not be enough to make some money in your investments. You may need now to make enough to exceed the amount that your leadership is depreciating the value of the dollars you've worked your whole life to accumulate. That same leadership has seen fit to maneuver risk-free interest rates to near zero. Providing positive risk-averse returns in a zero-interest and declining real wealth environment is by far the toughest assignment I've ever had in my years as a money manager. I'm sure that a lot of you have heard that one way to possibly deal with this problem is to invest in so-called hard currencies like silver and gold, the idea being that they will retain their relative value in the face of devaluation of paper currencies like the dollar. To be honest, I have never been a gold bug. I've always had faith that having enough dollars and a good investment strategy was good enough. Now I'm not so sure. But I do know that if I did invest in gold or silver, I'd want to do it in the same manner as we do with PTI for investments in the market, with defined risk. If you feel the need to invest in gold or silver, we can do it using the same strategies that we use for our protected index program. No matter what you invest in, we feel that you need to know and control your risk. Find us at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Are you one of the millions of people who suffer with pain? Do you wake up in the morning with stiffness in the lower back or neck? Why are you using medication to cover up the symptoms without treating the actual cause? Painkillers, muscle relaxants, and anti-inflammatories are not the answer. At ChiroMed, physicians are trained to detect the cause of your symptoms and to correct the underlying problem. If you're ready to listen to common sense and do what it takes to make changes in your body that can affect your health for the rest of your life, give ChiroMed a call and set up a complimentary consultation. They are located in Orland Park and can be reached at 708-403-2727. 20,000 patients over 22 years have been treated at ChiroMed, and over 90% of them have had positive results without medication or expensive surgery. Isn't it time you did something good for your body too? Give ChiroMed a call. 708-403-2727. That's 708-403-2727. Let's get you pain-free and living again.
Is your business being challenged by the complexities surrounding healthcare reform or other matters related to human resources management? If so, then Cognos HR can help. A longtime friend and contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, Cognos HR provides its clients with a perfect blend of strategic consulting and day-to-day HR management to drive overall improvement in business performance. Companies that join the Cognos HR family are better able to manage healthcare costs, enhance benefit offerings, and improve employee satisfaction by leveraging our access to Fortune 500 benefits. Our innovative onboarding and payroll technology, along with our constant attention to detail, enables us to provide the highest level of quality service to our clients. Now, your time and energy can be focused on generating business and increasing your bottom line. We'll take care of the rest. For more information, call us at 630-401-8810 or search us on the web at CognosHR.com. Cognos HR, innovation in human resources. Licensed in Illinois and Arizona.
Stocks, jocks,
Stocks and Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
Hello, welcome back to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Howell. She's AV on the board, Angelica Lysenko. By the way, Jeff, AV is turning very right-wing on us.
No kidding. I'm not sure where she started from, so.
I'm just saying, S&P futures up 17, NASDAQ futures down 29. We're down a lot from the highs earlier. Dow's still up 314. Individual stocks. Actually, Apple's turned negative, but still we got Boeing up 5. We got Caterpillar up 2, CVX up 2. Over in Europe, big-time rallies. Well, not as much as they were a minute ago, but DAX was up over 300. Now 283, 2.2%. FTSE up 121, 2%. CAC around up 131, 2.6. I don't think Putin likes his daughter. He put her in line ahead of him. Just saying. Nikkei up 420. She asked for a new car, AV, you know, and then she said no, and now he wants to
give her the vaccine
instead. Shanghai out 38, 1%. Hang Seng up 513, 2.1%. The bonds. Actually up 5 basis points is 0.62%. Still pretty low for 10-year, obviously. Bund minus 0.48, but the Japan almost up to 0.03 positive. Oil, we got oil up 84 cents
That's a full 2%, 42.78. Brent up 66, 45.65. Natural gas up 3 cents, 218. RBOB 125. Producer Price Index came in at 0.6%. We're starting to get a few hot ones in a row here. Maybe one of these days these guys leave and tell us we got some inflation. However, gold, ouch. Minus 55 bucks, 19.84. Silver down $1.50 to 27.76. Copper down a penny, 2.84. AV, what do you guys, traffic, weather, sports, now that we can go back to work downtown?
Yes, so it's 66 degrees currently. The day expected to be sunny with just a few clouds. The highest of the day will be 79 and the low is 65. The cooler and less humid conditions are expected for at least the next couple of days. Dry weather will likely prevail through Friday. A small chance of rain and storms exists Friday afternoon. Mainly sunny in Phoenix, high around 110, 87 at night. In traffic, we have Adams West experiencing some delays from 31st up to Roosevelt and Stevenson North between Central and Pulaski. In sports, we have White Sox that lost to Tigers 1-5 and Diamondbacks get 18 hits in 12-8 win over Rockies. Tom, back to you.
We have Jeff, I got a question for you.
Hold on. Right. I got a question for you. I didn't get the answer I was all looking right for.
Uh-oh.
Do you think that Bloomberg would have been competitive as an independent candidate if he was an independent as opposed to running as a Democrat? Do you think at this point he would have 20% of the vote, popular vote?
Speaking as a general person, like I think you and I are, I would say yes. But did you ever, and I'm gonna give you a jab here. I love giving you a jab once in a while because it's so rare I can do that. Because usually you know so much about this stuff. When was the last time that you had like a Saturday where it was pouring rain and you had nowhere to go, and you had a bunch of questions on the show the week before about running as a third-party candidate, and you dug through three or four states trying to figure out what it would take to get on the presidential ballot? It's impossible.
And I've looked into this issue lately as a result of Kanye. You know, for example, right now Kanye's trying desperately to get on the Illinois ballot. It looks like he might have been pushed off of Wisconsin. He literally got his signatures in 5 minutes after the deadline, and it doesn't look like Wisconsin is going to give him room on that because they have very strict laws. So it looks like he might have missed the Wisconsin ballot. In Illinois, he's already under contest because one election official said it's the worst petition he's ever seen. You know, there's some names like Bernie Sanders on the petition because he is involved in the effort right now to try to get on the Illinois ballot, and it doesn't look like he's going to succeed there either. It's a very, when Kanye announced, if that's what we want, it's hard to give that more credit than it is, but he had already missed out on 7 or 8 states at that point. And that was, about 6 weeks ago. And just the process of getting on individual ballots is extremely, extremely difficult. But if that's about, the difficulty for a third-party candidate to get any kind of momentum, you can look to Gary Johnson in the previous election cycle and know that, hey, it can be done.
First time.
And remember, you did have 4 years to get in front of this. So I know it's difficult, but it's not impossible, and we have predicate candidates that illustrate that.
If I was a cynic, which some accuse me of, I'm going to say we have one more political party in Russia. You realize that the first time ever an independent candidate or a third-party candidate was on all 50 states was the last election, ever.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
But the weird part is, he has all these deadlines, Kanye or Bloomberg or you or me, in every state. And most of them are pretty much insurmountable. Yet the Democrats and the Republicans don't have to do any of that stuff.
No.
So if Joe Biden, a week before the election or a month before the election, is judged a vegetable, I hope that doesn't happen, they could put Jeff Joseph's name and all of a sudden you're on the ballot. 5 months before or after, or 6 months after, the deadline for Bloomberg. Now, tell me how that's American.
Yeah, well, that's America.
There's some states. I don't know if you dug in. Some states, you have to go through a registration process just to be a write-in.
Yes, it's true. But again, you know, the last election cycle 4 years ago, as you just stated, we were able to overcome that. Libertarians and Gary Johnson achieved that by being on the ballot in all 50 states and had a large popular vote to prove for it. And then we had 4 years to do more than come up with Joe Jorgensen and Vermin Supreme.
I don't disagree.
You know, so there's no excuse for this other than our, you know, kind of bipolar partisan, you know, bubble worshipping populace.
But it's like the chessboard. Jeff and I can see you and I playing like Kirk and Spock used to play in the 3-dimensional chessboard. You can be winning on one of them, getting your ass kicked on the other one. I mean, we can talk about how the whole point is this is not any, by any schmear, this is not a democracy of any sort. Unless you had somebody like Trump who somehow hijacked the party and because the party was so stupid to have 9 people on the stage where he could insult one individually and they couldn't even really answer him back. And then they gave him the center spot the next time. I mean, hopefully nobody will ever make a mistake like that again. I mean, but they did. Okay, so he jumped with the TV. But the point here is both of these parties are set up for somebody to work his way through whoever the people are that are behind the scenes that have all the power. You're supposed to win in Iowa, who nobody gives a crap about. Or, I'm not saying that people don't, Iowa's a nice state. Or New Hampshire. And then you're supposed to win one more, and that person all of a sudden gets anointed. Those are the only 2 people we ever hear about. That's how the whole thing is designed. Nobody wants to do a Bobby Kennedy anymore, where you see a bunch of buffoons running and you dive in late and you can win California and Illinois and New York and all of a sudden you're going to the convention as a player. They stopped that as soon as Bobby Kennedy died, right? We don't want that happening. We don't want people appearing during the primary process. God help that. You know, we decided the people who were behind Joe Biden in there, I don't know who they are. I don't know if it's some combination of big firms, if it's the old people used to be saying it would be the Defense Department people. It's somebody. I mean, of course, now the big thing is it's George Soros. I don't know if it's him or not. But somebody is pulling these strings, Jeff. And I'm going to ask you a question. I'm going to shift gears a little bit because you know a lot of these people more than I do. But I was mentioning yesterday, and because you weren't on it, I wanted to save it for you. Do you ever go to those APAC things?
No.
I was a Goyim guest a couple times. So, but
that would be hard for me to stomach. No,
you know what though? You know what, Jeff? Every time you go to something like that, you learn a lot.
Sure, absolutely. And I agree with that.
And so I was the Goyim guest, right? So that's okay. And because you know it was a nice group, and but I'm listening to these people, and I didn't really. But I will say this: they are incredible lobbyists. And how much work? How much work that is, Jeff. And the interesting part is, if you talk to some schmuck on the street, they're going to say all these people in Congress too long, term limits, blah blah blah. That's not the case at all. According to these guys, you have no idea how much turnover there is in the House these days, more than there's ever been. People get there, they're there for 2 terms, they're not doing any good, they leave. There's a district in Illinois. It's had 5 people in the last 5 election cycles. Because we know. We take up all Israel. I mean, all these new people are all over the place. I was watching, I listened on the radio. I heard the tail end. I don't know, it was Face the Nation. It must be Face the Nation because it was Channel 2. I was listening to BBM. And they had 4 Republican rookies that just won their first elections. This is the last time. And they were only on for like 15, 20 minutes, and I'm on the radio, but I'm pretty impressed. The next week, I was at Audrey's, and I turn it on, and I've got 4 people that were rookies that are Democrats. They've got this African-American lady. Not only is she very attractive, she was a decorated soldier in Iraq, went to some law school incredibly well. I'm like, where did we find her? I mean, talk about... And the 3 other... I think it was an Asian fella and 2 other guys. All 4 of them, Jeff, are like, God, this country's in good hands. I mean, where are we getting this kind of talent? Every one of them. One seemed smarter and better than the other one, and articulate on every subject. And I say the Republicans were the week before too. I'm going to say after two or three terms, none of them are there. Somehow, between the time we actually elect, and this process does work. We elect good people in a lot of districts in this country. I honestly believe that. Good, younger, not just young, but good people. And I, somewhere along the line, where the money's coming from someplace, or you can't, if you buck the trend at all. Was you the one who was telling me that if you don't use the Republican cell phone, they won't give you a committee assignment or a Democratic? I mean, if you don't play on the team, if they want you to use the cell phone they give you. If you want to use your own, they won't give you a committee assignment or something bizarre like that. I mean, if you aren't part of this, and once you get in, it's somebody's controlling where all the money's coming from, what all the votes are, what gets on this bill and that bill. It's like the people we elect don't have any power. Who the hell has it? And then you get to the top, and you've got the stumble bums of the world. Pelosi, Schumer, McConnell, and Trump are the four people that, I mean, I'm not saying that they're bad people. I'm saying you look at them and you go, you compare them to these young people that I was listening to.
Mm-hmm.
It's not even close, Jeff.
Sure.
And yet, somewhere along the line, this all, who's really the man behind the curtain? Because it's not these people. It can't be.
Well, you know, I mean, the money obviously matters, and whether it's, you know, Adelson or Soros, they have impact. But no, I think unfortunately it is those people. I think it is McConnell and Pelosi that have the most power in the two respective parties.
I think
parties.
They do, but I don't think the ideas are theirs, and they don't seem to be percolating up. Because I think there's a lot of really good people there. I honestly do. When I used to go into CBOE out there, I'd bump into people that were like rookie people, and I'd talk to them, and I'm going, you can walk away thinking the future's in good hands. These people are good people. But none of them are there that I met. They're not in Pelosi's spot. I mean, you know, something's wrong, Jeff, and I don't, I mean, look at Chicago. We got a mayor. I don't think she's a bad person. She got 90,000 votes. For God's sake, Jeff.
That's right.
I mean,
what'd she win by? 6,000?
In the primary, it was like 6. Primary, she had like 90, and Frank Wickle, 85, and Bill Daley got like 82 or something? I mean,
yeah.
I mean, why wouldn't there's a crisis? Do we really, are they left with a hole in the bag? I mean, it's, I mean,
sure.
I mean, what in her?
But I'm not going to let you slide away on that forecast so easily. So are you actually predicting a Trump win electoral college? Is that your prediction?
I don't. Let's put it this way. I don't think they can keep Joe Biden in hiding to the election. I think that backfires.
Yeah, I think the Republican campaign is, or Trump particularly, because you know he's not strategic. He's just, you know, he just thinks and does, and there's a very short time period between those two synapses. But I think he's not setting himself up properly. Biden's not going to fumble in a debate. He's not going to be impressive because he rarely is as an orator. But he's not going to fall apart in a bit debate. I think they're going to have to rely on at this point. I think either a vaccine hitting the market before November 1st, or the Durham investigation coming up with some serious indictments, are the only two things that can move the needle for Trump at this point.
When Maddie Weber, who's by far the worst the worst anti-Trumper there is, one day says to me, "Chief, did you were using YouTube yesterday?" And I go, "Yeah, I was looking for a recipe at short ribs." Sure enough, there comes on a ad from Biden. Jeff, he looked terrible. He sounded awful. Maddie goes, if that was like the fourth take and that's the best they could do, what's wrong with that guy? He's not going to make it to November. This is Maddie Weber talk.
Yeah.
And he would vote for his pet Airedale ahead of Trump. And he goes, this process, why didn't he give a, how did he not give five words at the, I'm sorry, the civil rights leader that died last week or 2 weeks ago? How did Biden not say two words at the funeral, or at least show up? He didn't even show up.
Yeah.
I mean,
I think what happened there, to go back to your earlier question, is that the powers that be within the DNC
We're looking at a Bernie uprising. Remember, you got to go back in time. You know, Bernie had momentum. He had serious momentum,
yeah.
And we know from 2016 that the DNC didn't want that to happen, and they were going to rig everything what they could, you know, to prevent that from happen. And that when you look at the whole landscape of candidates, they, you know, that's where they put their backing, was behind Biden, and it was really more about making sure that Bernie didn't get the top spot, because he would have been unelectable in the eyes of the DNC, you know, as a socialist candidate against a capitalist in a well-performing economy. You got to remember where we were 6 months ago. The economy was on fire, and Trump was looking like he was going to be reelected, particularly if he ran against Bernie Sanders. So Biden, you know, moderate, experienced, steady, became the go-to candidate, and they shifted their resources around him, not really looking at his age and, you know, the probability of dementia as being a factor. So I'm not surprised we ended up with him as a candidate. There was nobody else. If you're taking Bernie out of the picture and you want to win, there was nobody else that was the go-to person there. It was Biden.
Well, somewhere along the line here, we're talking about August. Okay, now he's not going to go to the convention. I mean, if he doesn't give an acceptance speech, and he doesn't debate, because Trump won't wear a mask or some,
and you have mail-in ballots, yeah, that start, you know, the day that there's a first debate. So, you know, everything is being done to reduce the potential, you know, to reduce this margin for error for Biden to give up on a lead. But go ahead.
I have a question from you, from one of our listeners. Do you think the DNC will replace Biden at the convention?
Absolutely not. No, those things are not. That it's not easy to occur. That's not going to happen.
Well, I guess.
I mean, let's go back to what we think. You know, what we think is happening here is that we are picking the next president on the Democratic side through a surrogate, which is the vice president. I mean, that's what's happening here, and that's why this pick is so important. You know, it might have been the case that Bass was his pick, and then, you know. I mean, that's what's taking so long here. Everyone knows the importance of this pick here is not, this is not the do no harm rule of picking a VP nominee.
No.
This is picking the next president.
Well, I mean, I never thought I would say something like this, but I think you need to be 65 to be president. I don't want to pay these people for 45 years and give them and their family Secret Service protection. The Obamas, he had his chance. He should be out of it. I mean, Bush stays out of it. Clinton can't seem to stay out of it. I mean, I don't. What is? I mean, these guys had their time. They're getting paid. Get the hell out. Get out of the way.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not like they became senior statesmen, you know, and helped anybody out. They're still sort of in the process somehow. And I don't. I mean. Why can't they go become a serious endowed professor somewhere and write a book to win a Nobel Prize or something with their knowledge? Right? You know,
Well, Obama's very much in the game, and the reason that you are most likely to see Kamala Harris become vice president is Obama's influence. That is why that very unlikable woman, and she's not a likable woman, and I'm saying that not because I don't like her, just because the Democratic electorate didn't like her. You know, she came in third in the primary in her own state, or she was third in the polling before she dropped out. She knew she wasn't going to win her own state in California in the Democratic primary. On a national basis, her vote count in the polls never exceeded 5%.
Right, so Jeff, how
popular woman,
but
even
I mean,
among
follow that through. If you and I ever ran, well, you could run me. You're younger and more articulate. You'd be the Gary Hart. If they saw you,
why you've seen the picture?
No, I'm just saying. If you were the guy who somehow didn't leave the proper tip at a restaurant, somebody would have you, you know, against the. If the waitress was Asian, it'd be doesn't like Asians, dissing Asians, and you'd be out of the thing in a week. But other people seem to be able, no matter what they do, no matter what happens, no matter how many times they get slapped back by society. I mean, why Obama did, a very not even average job as president. I think he pretty much gave up the place to Valerie Jarrett for some reason. She wasn't elected. I mean, and now all of a sudden he's still pulling strings. He didn't pull the strings when he was there to any extent that I saw. I mean, he had his chance. 8 years, long time. And all of a sudden he's got all this. Now, where does all that money come through him, through somebody, where he can dictate these things? I don't know the answer. I mean, I wish I did.
Well, I don't know either. Right.
And, you know, I mean, Trump is one guy. I mean, clearly the embedded Republicans don't really like him.
No.
But they don't have anybody who's willing to challenge him because he gets so personal to people. And I don't know if there's really any conservative Republicans around from the old school, from the Bushes and the Lodges and that group. Is there somebody like that even around that's in a decent
spot?
No,
you know, looking ahead, we know Tom Cotton and Nikki Haley are going to be contenders. I mean, those, you know, that clearly looks to be what lies ahead for the Republican Party, and there's nothing more the Republican Party needs than to shed Trump, you know, once and for all. But they are stuck with this candidate, you know.
Why were they so down on the guy from Ohio? They just didn't like him at all. Was he
DeWine or
the governor?
The governor. You're talking about
the governor that was in the debates with all of Trump. And he seemed like he did a pretty nice job in Ohio, and he was pretty conservative.
Because I think he lacks any principle.
Lacks principle. Worse than Trump.
I'm not recalling his name. I know exactly who you mean. He's. I liked him too. I was very attracted to him because I'm definitely not a Republican. I'm definitely not a Democrat. In fact, I don't even understand people who would assign those labels to themselves. I mean, how insulting to define yourself by a political party. I don't understand the majority of our populace, that they're willing to call themselves either a Democrat or a Republican. And I think Trump is the most, you know, obnoxious man that's ever been in our American politics. And I think Biden is just an awful candidate. So I'm, you know, regardless of how I might talk on this show, I'm not a fan of either, and nor will I vote for either under any scenario. Because I think a vote should be for something, not against something. So that leads me to third-party candidates, which is just, you know, ridiculous, but more of a protest vote. But
you're going to find one vote for Jeff Joseph.
The Republicans must get away from Trump, you know, obviously, to have any chance. And maybe there's something to be said that losing. Is what they need to regroup and be a contender again, but I don't know if the demographic shifts actually support that thinking. I think this is it. I think if the Republicans lose the Senate and the presidency, what will happen with gerrymandering and border and will shift the electorate in a manner that there will not be a Republican president again.
I think
this is the firewall.
I think right you here. Can count on whoever gets the job. Especially if it's Biden, who I think has no real plans of any sort, they're going to inherit a 36% money supply jump. They're going to probably by the middle of next year, even if they cheat on it, they're going to have inflation of probably 10%.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we're going to have an economy absolutely on its ass. Mm-hmm. And
not to mention the markets love Trump. I mean, look at today. I mean, we are within inches of new highs in the S&P. In what possible scenario? With a pandemic and these unemployment rates and the GDP numbers from in what possible scenario can you justify a market within inches of all-time high?
We have 15 seconds.
And
I'm
the fact is, the markets like Trump.
I'm going to say...
It is what it is. And when he loses, that party's over, too. So, yes.
Jeff, we got a dash.
The next president's got a lot of work on
it. We got a dash. I'll tell you this. The markets don't love Trump. They love the fact that money is pouring in Apple, that there's going to be 40% more dollars out there, and the market's going to be up 30%. It's not going to be worth any more. We just doubled the amount of, went up by 40% in the amount of money out there. Jeff, we'll talk about it next week, bud. Nice job. Love to talk to you. SP futures up 17. NASDAQ futures down 54. We're going two ways here. Dow up, NASDAQ down. Back tomorrow on Stocks and Jacks.
What did we learn, Palmer?
I don't know, sir.
I don't know either. I guess we learned not to do it again.
Stocks and Jocks is brought to you by PTI Securities and Futures. Go to PTISecurities.com. PTI Pro Direct. Trade for as low as a penny per share and a dollar per option contract. Learn more at PTIProDirect.com. Nadex. Offering an intuitive way to trade the financial markets. Visit Nadex.com. Home Source Realty. Call Audrey Johnson at 708-349-3456. Hamzy Analytics. Listen to Fari Hamzy every other Thursday and visit HamzyAnalytics.com. ChiroMed. Back or neck pain? Schedule a complimentary consultation by calling 708-403-2727. DAX Research. Tune in for David Andelman's technical analysis on Mondays and Thursdays and call 1-800-821-4968.